Sahara Shipwreck by Steve Scheinken. Performed by Bruce Thomas. Sahara Shipwreck. Copyright 2014 by Steve Scheinken. Like many great survival stories, this one starts with a shipwreck. To be precise, it starts with the American brig Commerce slamming into a reef off the coast of West Africa on the moonless night of August 28, 1815. The ship's side cracked wide open, and seawater poured in. The good news is Captain James Riley and his 11-man crew loaded a lifeboat with barrels of water, bread, and salted meat, and made it to shore. The bad news is they'd just wrecked on the western edge of the Sahara Desert. Also unfortunate, shortly after sunrise, a band of spear-wielding bandits spotted the sailors, robbed them, and carried one off as a slave. Riley and his remaining crew escaped to sea in their rickety lifeboat. They had a few bottles of water, a few pieces of salt pork, a sack of soggy figs. 7 days later, they were still in the boat. They'd hoped to spot a passing ship. No luck. The nails holding their vessel together were working loose in the waves, and the boat was coming apart beneath them. Their legs were underwater, their upper halves roasting in the sun. The food was gone. The water was gone. Abandoning hope of rescue, Riley and the men paddled to shore and collapsed on a patch of wet sand. Exhausted, starving, and utterly lost, the men moistened their burning throats with sips of their own urine. It was at this point that the pleasant portion of their journey came to an end. At dawn, Riley stood on a narrow beach, looking up at a rocky cliff rising 100 feet from the sand. A powerfully built man of 37, the captain stood over 6 feet tall and weighed 240 pounds. Remember that number. He wondered what was above the cliff. He said a silent prayer that, in the past week, they'd drifted far enough south to get past the dreaded Sahara. But first things first. The crew was desperate for food and water. Searching the beach, they found and devoured a few mussels, which did nothing for their hunger, but did succeed in intensifying their thirst to the level of torture. Hoping to find edible plants on the land above the cliff, the men began walking along the beach, searching for a way up. Many boulders fallen from the cliff above blocked their path. The men climbed over the smaller ones and waded through neck-high surf, clinging to one another to get around the ones they couldn't climb. The sun's rays bore down from a blindingly bright sky. Riley had now gone so long without fresh water, his saliva had stopped flowing. "My tongue," he would write, "cleaving to the roof of my mouth, was as useless as a dry stick." Only way to get it unstuck? A sip of urine. After hiking all day, accomplishing nothing, the men lay down in their wet clothes. The captain gazed at the youngest member of his crew, the 15-year-old cabin boy, Horace Savage. Before setting out, Riley had promised Savage's mother that he'd watch over the boy as he would his own son. Now, even in sleep, Horace's face was twisted with pain and terror. "I took him in my arms," Riley wrote, "and we all slept soundly till morning." At dawn, while the crew scooped holes in the sand in a frantic search for fresh water, Riley found a place where the cliff looked climbable and began a slow ascent. Dragging himself up and over the edge, he stood and gazed out to the east. He fell to the ground in shock. No trees, no grass, nothing green in sight. Just rocks and reddish-tan sand straight to the horizon. "Despair now seized on me," the captain confessed, "and I resolved to cast myself into the sea as soon as I could reach it, and put an end to my life in miseries. But he thought of his wife, Phoebe, back home in Connecticut. He thought of their 5 children. He thought of his 10 men on the beach below. He started down the cliff.